Welcome to the Compassionate Leaders Circle podcast. For thousands of years, the sages have known that compassion is a powerful force for good. In the last two decades, compassion scholars caught up with these sages, proving that there is an ROI to building loving communities and businesses. This podcast features leaders who can teach us about the power of compassion.
Hi, this is Jay Beckley with Compassionate Leader Circle. I am the CMO. We're here with Laurel Donnellan, our founder, and Jim Safransky, who is the CEO of Prezi. We're going to talk to Jim about the company, some of its growth, and the new product launch in 2019, Prezi Video, which is extremely important and valuable, especially in the times that we're in. And we're going to let Jim talk about that. It's a product and a tool that we're super impressed with, and it ties into what we're doing here at Compassionate Leaders Circle. Jim's told us that the company's dedicated to helping users form human connections, and there's nothing really more at the base of compassionate interactions than connections between humans and genuine connections. So welcome, Jim. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Jay. I'm very excited for our conversation.
Excellent. Can you briefly tell us, I know you've been at the company since 2015, recently moved into the CEO role, and have driven a lot of the growth, in particular, this new product, Prezi Video, and launched just prior to COVID. And tell us a little bit about the product itself and how it's working for your users now, especially in this environment.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. And yeah, so we launched, as you said, a new product in 2019 called Prezi Video. And Prezi's been around for quite a few years now. And our focus over the years has always been about helping people share ideas and connect with their audiences, ultimately to kind of drive action. And we really believe in that sort of the creativity of how you communicate and connect with your audience. And so what we had started to see a couple years ago was sort of that the audience was changing, right? As opposed to always being focused on like the big stage, you know, the TED Talk, or the trade show, you know, the presentation stage there, or even like these sort of big production face-to-face meetings, we'd started to see that, right, that presentations were starting to become really important in other venues and primarily online and virtual. And the capstone for this was when TED actually wanted a speaker, a Dr. Robert Sapolsky from Stanford, to speak at TED 3 years ago. And Robert didn't want to travel, but TED really wanted him to talk about his new book. And so Chris Anderson at TED pulled Robert into a conversation with Prezi, because Chris had an idea what we were working on. And actually, that was when this whole Prezi Video started. And so it was the ability to essentially turn Robert into essentially a newscaster, or more like a weather person, right on the video screen in the live audience of TED, even though he wasn't there. And so that's what the product does. It basically allows you to become your own sort of producer of a news show or a weather where you can interact with your content and really engage your audience and connect, as you said. We call it, it's for people who have something to say, and it really allows you to connect with your audience. If you'd like, I could show it to you for a minute.
Please do.
We'd love to see it.
And so I'm gonna turn on my Prezi Video application now. And what it does, as you can see, is it brings my content over here right into the Zoom feed that we're on right now. And it's nice to have the content here, but what's really interesting is you can interact with it. Let's say, like, let me tell you why does it work, right? And I can start bringing you into this presentation in a very interactive way. And the way it really works is it allows me to interact with my content. And I'll give you an example. Let's say I'm a teacher. We're studying Rome right now, right? And so I can have some fun. I can, you know, set this up that, you know, we're not going to Rome, but we can virtually be there. And today we're going to talk about the Colosseum. And you could start really bringing your audience into the content. And what we've learned is if you're using space and you are interacting with it, it just drives the engagement up a bunch. So that's a really simple version of it. And there's other really interesting things about Prezi Video. It works great, like say with data, when you want to kind of come in and start really pointing out interesting parts of your charts and stuff like that. And so, but ultimately, by turning us on to newscasters and weather people, you know, we think that we have the opportunity to really drive engagement in these virtual spaces.
That's tremendous. Thanks for the look at that. As a presentation coach, there's just so much going on there, and in particular in video, that is just engaging. Yeah, it makes you human. It brings the information to life and draws the viewer in, as opposed to seeing you cutting to, oh, let me share my screen, bring up the PowerPoint now, bang, 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 death by PowerPoint. And allows you, as you were giving that demonstration, to be very animated and excited about what you're doing. So what's been the feedback from your user base?
It's been tremendous. And what I mean by that is, you know, we launched this product in November of 2019. And frankly, we thought it was going to take a while to convince the audience. As you mentioned, people are a little addicted to their bullet points. Video conferencing was fine. You just see a face or the content for a while, right? It was fine. And so we were like, okay, this is going to be a journey, right? To really help people realize there's a better way to connect with your audience and communicate visually. And then the unfortunate thing happened, which was this pandemic, which was only 5 months after we launched this product. And what we saw in the month of April alone was Prezi Video, 5-month-old product, we hadn't really started to market it too much yet, was used by teachers in 175 countries in April alone. It was used in about the 16,000 different school districts in the United States. Right. So our usage shot up like 40x. It's kind of almost irrelevant to talk about the growth of the usage, but it was just like, and so we went from sort of a project that we thought was going to take some time to actually having, you know, something that could help in a real time of need. And what we've seen is our users grow in their sophistication since.
Mm. So I have a question. As a 60-year-old user that learns a new platform every week, how hard is it to learn and use for someone who's not technical? Even though I used a lot of technology, I'm not very technical. So,
you know, we tried to take our learnings over the last years of being in this business of trying to make it really easy. And so what we've seen is people can go from, you know, introducing, learning, seeing the product for the first time to making and doing one in 20 minutes, which we think is pretty good. It can be better. Right. But if we're talking about a presentation, so it's really easy to kind of pull in existing content that you already have. You can even pull in your PowerPoint slides, right, as an example. And so what we've tried to do is make it easy for you to bring your content in alongside of you and start interacting with it. There's obviously levels of sophistication you can add to it. But what we've seen is really good uptake and sort of that early kind of user activation. And we've tried to make it easy to learn a new tool.
You have some templates that help get you started, right?
Yes. The way we thought of it is kind of two different ways to do templates. One is more just the visual style that will quickly give you the style you want. If you want something kind of fun, you can, you know, and you're in the teaching world, it can be jelly beans, or you want something serious, it's a business case, you know, it can be square and blue. And so we give you visual style templates that allow you to have the visual design that you want. As we're learning, right, through all this video conferencing that's going on, virtual backgrounds and things like that do matter. People want to have the right style. And so we give you style templates, but then we also give you content. Also, like, for instance, a very popular one this fall in August and September was a back to school template, and specifically about helping teachers have that sort of conversation with parents, which is, you know, here's what we're going to be doing this year. So just to kind of help the teachers get started quicker.
Hey, I want to bridge into compassion a little bit as it relates to your leadership, your leadership team and your company, and head in that direction for a sec. When you talk about that type of growth and explosion of user base in April, what kind of strain did that put, in addition to all the environmental strains that companies were dealing with at the time, what kind of strain did it put on the company or employees, and how did you guys handle that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think technically the good news was we've got a pretty big following at this point, 100 million users, and one of the largest sort of databases of presentations in the world. And so the infrastructure of the company was kind of prepared, and thankfully for that. And so obviously we were working hard to scale, but the scale was already in our company, not being a brand new startup. So I think the bigger strain was sort of in some ways what everyone was going through, which was, you know, we had one view of the world and now there's a new world thrust upon us. And then within Prezi, you know, it was this new product jumping to the limelight just instantly, right? So something we were super proud of, but we're also very proud of, and we work really hard on our other products. And so I think the probably the biggest strain was that there was this new thing that mattered a lot, and we were gonna, you know, put as much of our resources there as fast as possible.
Right. Did you need to transition people to a new area? And how did you do that smoothly and kindly?
I think that the first thing, so the answer is yes, we had to put more people and, you know, and more resources even beyond people into the what we call the Prezi Video product. And I think the first step we took was as much as we could, like just transparency of what was happening, right? And so I think that's, you know, in this area of sort of leading people, and I think the topic here of doing it compassionately, I think the first step was to make sure we shared the situation. We trust our people, and we believe we hire really good people. And the first thing to do is to make sure they understand, right? Which is what's happening. What are the facts, so to speak? What is the numbers? What is the uptake? How is the pandemic affecting other parts of the business and stuff like that? So we started a lot with just sharing what we saw happening in April.
Yeah. And then it sounds like if you start with that baseline of communication, you deliver that expectation, that level of comfort, trust, reducing uncertainty for folks, and that gives you the foundation to really move forward as you continue to adapt.
Correct. And that's then the hard work begins in a way, right? But at least you're doing it on that foundation, right? And so for us, you know, a lot of the, then it's kind of pivoting the tools, using the tools we have. For instance, at Prezi, we leverage OKRs, objectives and key results, as a company kind of goal setting process. Right into the pandemic, we actually suspended these for a month or two because we couldn't move fast enough to even set them. And so we kind of basically said, you know, we're not going to do great on this, but we still tried to lay out some key metrics on what we wanted to achieve, you know, in May, in June. And then we caught up, and then we put those kind of goals in place, again, transparently for the whole company, you know, for the third quarter. And ultimately, making sure that people understood we were going to focus on the acquisition of users in this new product line. We were going to focus on the integration of our other products into the video product on a faster pace than we had originally intended. So basically changing the goals and then letting the team kind of organize and get after them.
Cool. Stated or not, it sounds like you say we suspended the OKRs and probably some of the business related goals that you're used to working in and providing to people. But it sounds a lot to me like you created a new one with the leadership team in terms of how you're going to deal with your people and the company growth, and more of a human or emotional kind of OKR for the leadership team to demonstrate, and that it worked out for you.
Yeah, and I think it's still work in progress, but yeah, on that front, like with the leadership team, one thing we had is we had a product that allowed us to stay connected, you know, as humans during this pandemic. And so we're in a really good position where we could actually pivot, so to speak, or, you know, to this new business taking the forefront, and then also try to use the tool. I'll give you an example of sort of a way in which we tried to be, I guess, you know, understanding that some new leadership style was going to be needed and continue to push the business forward. But one of the things with Prezi Video that's been really interesting is what we've seen, like, again, our teachers, they're really mainstreaming the use of recorded video. Mm. And this idea that there's a concept in education called a flipped classroom, where you use the time alone to actually consume the content, the lecture, and you use the time together to interact. And that's a little different than it used to be in, you know, traditional models. You lecture together and you go home to do your homework. And so as teachers, they're really mainstreaming really great recorded video using Prezi Video. And so we're doing that in our company. And so what we're trying to do is one-to-many conversations are being recorded and sent out so that the time together is many-to-many, right? Where you're actually interacting, solving problems. And it actually even gives you time during those interactions to waste 10 minutes up front of the meeting and just have a little fun.
Relationship building. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I actually think, strangely, recorded video is a way to help the team connect more by making a better use of the time you have together to not be broadcasting things. So that would be an example where we're really trying to, and I think at the end of the day, that's kind of compassionate, respecting the time of all of our employees and leveraging it well. I mean, I think, so that's like a really tactical example of how we're changing inside.
Tactical and impactful and profound in a way. Mapping to really flipping that, letting folks consume the content on their own and at their own pace and using their time for interaction is, yeah, simple and hugely impactful.
Yeah, so for me as the CEO, my Monday morning, you know, team meeting, I send it out on Thursday. I'm like, here's, you know, the content is sent out, recorded, so that, again, we hit the ground running. And as a global team, those hours, a lot of our team's in Europe, and, you know, me and half the team here is in San Francisco. And so, again, you just use that time well. It's been a one way to really deal with some of the complexities of all this video conferencing and remote work.
Very cool. I love the values your company states, in particular, because they're in the values you hold, because there's three of them and not six or seven, and they're not stock, like we can pull them from anywhere. And and they're simply stated, you know, we picture, we care, and we team. And at least two of those to me speak a lot to compassion. Can you talk a bit about the values, maybe how you came up with them, how they operate in your company?
Sure. You know, Prezi is definitely a very kind of mission-driven company. Our co-founders are incredible human beings, and they started a company not necessarily to make profits. They're good business people also, but to help people share ideas, right? And so why we're here is so important, and it makes it fun being here. And so the values at Prezi, you know, they've largely always been the same, but they've evolved. What we normally do, for instance, the ones that you see right now, you know, they're the result of a values work group that we put together. We do this every about 2 or 3 years. And when we look at the existing ones and we think about the business and the team we have now and our customers, and we ask if we need to reevaluate them. And so every about 2 or 3 years, and that team is cross-functional. It's not leadership only. We try to get representation pretty broad. So we're very deliberate on basically having them and resetting them. And I think that the place where we really focus when we're considering any kind of adjustments to them, it's actually the behaviors behind the values. So we communicate the values and with a kind of a, you know, a good catchy statement so you can remember what it means. But what we do is most of the time of that work group is really thinking about how as a team do we need to do we want to be behaving? How do we want to show up? And how does that tie into the business we're trying to build? And we spend actually time with upwards of 6 or 8. So if you're looking for where's the complexity of our values, because it's 3 simple words, it's actually, you know, there's 6 or 8 behaviors behind each one of those. And that's where we spend the time, right? How do we want to give critical feedback? How should we give constructive feedback? How do we want to channel our users? Our mission and is in those behavior statements.
Yeah, so and they're all action.
Exactly.
Action statements as well, which is terrific. And not a giant fan of nouns used as verbs, and I haven't heard team used as a verb, and I love it. Just gotta say.
Yeah. So,
neat how it's values day, especially from our point of view, how it's a diverse body coming up with these, all levels represented, and then taking what are many values and consolidating them, turning them into action statements. Really, really like that a lot.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. I think they serve as a great backbone, as you had said. Strategy is great. Being sort of fortunate to have a product that helps in the world right now is, but you know, we're definitely playing the long game and having the values and attracting people that are attracted to them. Yeah. Super important to us.
Yeah. Another great guide to bring the right people in. I've two questions I'm going to spring on you. We like to ask leaders, can you tell us about a time that someone was compassionate to you in your career and what impact that had on you?
I'll go back to the very beginning of my career. I was coming out of MIT and I was a master's degree holder in computer science and probability and search and stuff like that. So I knew a little bit about math. And I remember I was working at a company called A.T. Kearney, management consulting firm. pretty, you know, great company. These are high stress projects, right? You're being hired by often Fortune 500 executives under some real stress where they need help. You know, every project, you're really thinking about the client, and you just want to meet the client's needs. And I remember early on, a partner there, Rainer Famola, I worked with him on the first project. He was a longtime McKinsey partner who also founded and started this new group inside of A.T. Kearney where I was working. And somehow he took me under his wings and he said, I know you know math. The thing that's going to be most important here, though, is if everyone else gets a hold of it, they're just going to use you for what you already know. You know, he was kind of like, you stick with me, I'll make sure you learn, you know, other things. He really was very protective of me in the sense that making sure that certainly I used math on his projects, a lot of it, but also very, very protective to make sure that I was developing, you know, 6 months into my career to have somebody under such, you know, all these partners under such pressure really care about me even early on before he knew me that well. I think that that's been a really lasting thing for me, you know, to make sure that you develop your team, right? And I think, you know, more modern for me, like even like in the sort of the radical candor sort of thing, you know, you care personally about the people. It's amazing what they'll do for you, you know, with you if you do. So I think that's the story I'd share.
Appreciate
love that story. I think that often people don't know that they might be developing a future CEO.
It's probably not at that time. No. Yeah, I didn't know I was a future CEO a year ago.
You just didn't know.
Exactly.
Well, that brings me to, I mean, are you new to being a CEO? Is this your first gig?
I am, yes.
As a CEO?
Yes.
Oh, I'd love to hear what has been surprising. This is quite a year, by the way, to start being a CEO. What has been surprising as a CEO and maybe what's been the most challenging?
A fun version of surprise would be, you know, this was not something I was necessarily seeking out for. I've certainly been preparing myself for it, I believe, you know, for my whole career, starting back with others preparing me, as you pointed out. The surprise in some ways was my partner for 5 years, our co-founder and previous CEO, Peter Arvai. The biggest surprise was when he asked. This was not something that anyone was agitating for necessarily, but he saw it was time and a good opportunity for me to come in and lead as Prezi was going through this new, like Prezi Video is built in a way where it can work with any platform and things like that. And those are things that skills that I had spent years learning how to operate inside of Prezi. So the biggest surprise is that I'm doing it. But I think, you know, probably it's a very introspective moment, right? When you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lead this team. I'm going to lead this company. I think the probably pleasant surprise has been, and I got this advice from a lot of people and it seems to be working, was largely just, you know, be yourself, like, you know, be authentic. Assume Peter, you know, our CEO and our board, they assume they picked you because of you, not because of how either of them have done it before, if that makes any sense. And I think that sort of, you know, be authentic, even with all the lights on you, so to speak, and all the pressure on you, just, you know, use what got you here in a way. That's probably been the biggest surprise in trying to think about, yeah, how am I going to approach this? The fact that that seems to be working is great.
I've been talking this week to a lot of people about just being paid to be yourself. And it is surprising, but it often works. And you've been prepared to be yourself for years. So why not give it a go?
Yeah, it doesn't have to just be about the CEO role. I think for me, it was a reflective moment to think about, yeah, who am I going to be? And how am I going to hold this role? But yeah, I think it makes sense. I think if leaders are building teams, right, like there is a moment to be thoughtful of all the different yourselves that are on a team, but that's probably for the leader shaping the team and the team shaping itself. Really, really interesting thought. And on your other question, the challenge, I mean, I think right now it's basically trying to be available to the needs of the company, right? So I've got a broader need set. I'm learning some new, you know, I'm running some functions I haven't before, say like human resources and stuff like that. And it's during this pandemic, as I don't think the pandemic actually in many ways would change this. I think just it's the being in this role and making sure that I'm available And to me, available not meaning just that I can come to a meeting or I'm reading on my Slacks, which I do, but it's also helping people in that moment so they can move on. That makes any sense. So I think it's a level of decisiveness, not so much like me making the decisions, but me supporting people moving on with some tough situations. And even when maybe it's you don't know if it's the right decision, but the right decision is to move on, if that makes any sense. So I think it's sort of being available and helping people through these challenges that are broader now and quick. I think I feel a fair amount of pressure. I don't mind it, which is don't slow the company down.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask the flip side of the you received compassion question and cut you a little slack here and say, do it for, we like to ask you to talk about a moment that you've been compassionate and the impact it's made on someone else. You strike me as very humble. If you want to speak about someone else in your company, that would be fine too. But we'd love to hear an example of compassionate leadership in your company, the impact it had on the employee or the team.
Sure. Let me just grab a quick drink there. What I've always tried to do, I guess if I link back to that original story, is sort of, you know, care personally about the people around you and help them achieve their goals. So I think the probably the places where I feel like I've done this the best is when, you know, when I really make sure I understand people's goals, even if they're not 100% aligned with my own or with the company, right? And so the examples, I'll probably leave the names out of it, but I think the examples are, the more extreme is when you realize that someone isn't, like, this isn't the right place for them. But not to have that be, like, so negative, if that makes any sense, and not have it be where you're failing. And so I think, actually, a lot of times it's whenever you and your teammate or your employee is, you're moving on, you know, your other things in life. I think those are the moments where I feel like I've tried to have the most compassion and keep people's confidence up, make it a mutual kind of supportive situation, you know, not something where it's just, you know, it's not always about performance. Performance is a tricky thing, right? Because the performance is top to bottom. The strategy, everyone shares in each other's performance, if it makes any sense. So I think that's probably the place I would say is just, you know, in these most difficult situations, when it may be time for someone to leave, I really try to approach it with the person and make them realize that, you know, there's a great big world out there and we all have talents and, you know, help them move on well, if it makes any sense. I think that's probably the place the example I'd share, but I can't use names, so to speak, but I think it's a place that can be forgotten sometimes. As a leader, there's still a team left behind, right? And normally a team that really cares about this person, even if maybe they weren't looked at as the best performer, it doesn't mean they weren't cared about, right? And stuff like that. So I think that's probably a place where I try to focus the most. In addition to the easier things of just, you know, exciting the team about current performance and rewarding people and things like that.
It's such a great example and demonstration of a compassionate leader caring about that person far beyond what they can do to impact the bottom line or performance for the company. And in our minds, that it obviously something that we promote a lot, and it's something that other employees see, right, and see leadership do. And it's so wonderful for culture and for morale and for buy-in for people who are there, I think, is some of the things that we'd point out from our perspective. And the word that keeps coming up from you is care, and that will take you so far,
right?
And genuinely care about environments, about people, about customers, about your product, and the excitement and enthusiasm comes through a lot. So thank you for that, because we love speaking to leaders who are living compassion every day in the workplace. And it's great for us to hear and to bring to our audiences. Laurel asked earlier about ease of use and how people could, you know, how easy it is to pick up technical aspects or just the ability to use Prezi Video. Mm-hmm. And you do have an option on your site for people to just go ahead and try it for free. And what's the amount of time you say people can make their own video?
Our studies show in about 20 minutes from meeting it for the first time to having a video that you share. And again, the key here is you can author really amazing content inside of Prezi, but you can also just use stuff you already have. So like I said, the most frequent use case right now for us is teachers using their PowerPoint content, but inside Prezi Video to create that engaging experience.
We're about at time. We thank you for all the years. Anything we haven't covered you'd like to tell us about Prezi Video, the company, you, your people?
No, I appreciate the opportunity to connect, you know, Prezi Video, like you said, it's something we think it connects humans together. I love the idea of how we were able to connect that in with the topic of compassionate leadership, which is just so important. So I really enjoyed our conversation.
I will ask you to talk a little bit about, first of all, even though helping people leave a company with dignity is the right thing to do, it's a very rare thing to do. So thank you for sharing that as a tip to other leaders that are listening. I'm also a big fan of anyone that helps education. And I know that Prezi has given back to teachers. And can you just end with that? Because you're so humble, we'll force you to maybe be less humble.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the main reasons I'm at Prezi is education. I think, you know, personally, I love learning and I've seen what it does for everyone who approaches life kind of learning. And so, I mean, you know, we have over 80 million teachers and students using Prezi Video today. And I think it has such an impact. What we see is, I mean, at the end of the day, if you communicate well, and actually as humans, we remember through space. We remember, actually it comes back, we're talking about caring. It's all about relationships. That's the way our brain works. And so if you present your information, your case in space next to things that demonstrate the relationships between things, people just understand. And so, we're having so much impact and we're so grateful to have this impact. But I mean, so Prezi Video, everyone should be using it. The way we talk about it is it makes things like Zoom or WebEx or Slack or Microsoft Teams better. And we're all living our life in those tools right now. So if we're fortunate to have an offer, and as Jay pointed out, it's even free from our website, that makes your message better inside those tools. I'd love to see your readers and listeners and everyone give it a try.
Super. Jim, thank you very much and carry on. Love the action. So I want to just end with that here, that all about action. And to us, that's where the compassion, where the rubber meets the road. You know, we look at sympathy that we talk about as really thoughts, empathy as thoughts and feelings, and compassion, the combination of those with action. And looks like you guys are taking plenty of it. So appreciate that. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening to the Compassionate Leaders Podcast. You can learn more about us at CompassionateLeadersCircle.com. Please join us each week as we shine a light on compassionate leaders making a positive impact on their communities and the world.